This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki on 101.3 ESPN and 960 The Zone. Sports Saturday is powered in part by Bagels Plus, with over 18 different varieties of bagels coming today for fresh and hot homemade goodness. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs, from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Superb Cupcakes, the gourmet cupcakery who specializes in taste. Yum! Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. Periwinkles in downtown Burlington. Visit them online at periwinkles.com. And now, it's Sports Saturday.
We are living the dream and taking you with us. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. We're another local show on the weekend. It's a cold morning here, but it's warm in here.
Is it?
It is. Bernie, okay. You're back this week, buddy. This is great. The family's back together. It's always good.
Yes, it is. Good to be back. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Have a good week for you this week? All good? Could be better, huh? It's all right.
I've had an interesting week, let's put it that way.
655-6672 is the number to call to join the show. 802-655-6672. Dave Hunter on the board. Well done with your SportsCenter, young man. I shouldn't say, but it was pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. Welcome. We'll try to get better in the 11 o'clock hour with that one. But you did pretty good. I wrote a lot this morning.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, Dave,
the font was pretty small.
Yeah, Dave's looking thick. You've been eating a lot of meat?
I have.
Attaboy.
Good. Good.
Okay.
I tell you what happened at my bar last night, East Sox 194 Main Street across from the divorce court in Burlington.
No.
I didn't.
I don't want to hear either.
I saw some very nice jewelry.
That's good. Let's move on anyway. Hey, I'm in a good mood this morning. Listen, I have to tell you something. You're always in a good mood. And not every morning. I'm not in a good mood.
It's been
kind of. But listen, I had a really. This morning, I was hungry this morning, you know, so you got to have the breakfast. What are you doing that for?
I'm just starting. I'm in a good mood. Just getting ready.
You're going to put me in that kind of mood to keep doing stuff like that. But I stopped at this store. There's a little shop that I stop at on my way here every Saturday morning, grab a little breakfast. And this morning, I got the fruit cup. And I got to tell you.
Was it fresh fruit?
Oh, I'm going to say, sometimes you get fruit cups at other places. You can get fruit cups. And there's too much melon in them. People, like, overdo the melon. Like, I feel like melon might be a little cheaper than everything else, so they fill a lot of melon in it, and then they put the green or the... Either.
The
doesn't matter. Cantaloupe or honeydew. Doesn't matter.
Do you know why fruits and vegetables have to get married?
I don't know what that means. No, I don't know why.
Because they cantaloupe. Anyways,
continue. Well played. Well played. That was really well done, Bernie.
Thank you.
Anyway, this fruit cup had a lot of grapes, a lot of watermelon, a lot of pineapple, and not a lot of melon. A+ this morning with the fruit cup. Normally, I get a fruit cup and I get disappointed. Because, you know, fruit cups can be a little misleading. You look at the cup, you see the grapes and all the good stuff. And on the bottom is all the melon. And it's usually rind and doesn't taste really good. But this morning, I'm in a good mood, Bernie, with the fruit cup. Yeah, I'm telling you.
That's all it takes is a fruit cup.
As I get older, I realize it's the simple things in life. When I get a good fruit cup in the morning, man, not that I eat a lot of fruit cups, but man, it was good this morning. I was feeling good.
I like Fruit Loops.
I like Fruit Loops, too. Okay. That's one of my faves. Yeah.
There you go.
Hello!
Hey, what a show we have this week. Hey, big win for the UVM Hoop Cats last night. They're 4-0 in conference. We're going to talk to the head coach of the Cats, John Becker. He joins us next segment around 10:20.
Don't mention his Knicks.
Oh, dude, I'm all over it.
Don't.
Listen, first of all, and let's you know, again, about 4 months ago we had him on, and I had mentioned that the Knicks were going to get the boy. You know, I mentioned Derrick Rose. He was laughing at me.
Yeah.
By his Knicks. Boy, those Knicks are
now
brutal.
He's laughing at Derrick Rose and probably wants him out of town.
Hey, man.
We got to talk about the Cats first before
those,
we give it to him.
His Knickerbockers, one of our sponsors is Superb Cupcakes, one of the owners over there.
Yeah.
Huge Knicks fan.
Uh-huh.
He bet me going into the season the Knicks would win over 50 games. Okay? And so here's the bet. The bet was I have the under 50.
Yeah.
If the Knicks go over 50, I have to give him pizza.
Okay.
And if they go under, he's going to give me a dozen cupcakes. I'm going to bring him in here for you guys. Yeah.
I think
that bet is solid. I could have taken under 30, I think I'd win.
I mean, you could look at the record now. I don't think they can win 50 games.
Yeah, no, so
you might as well bring
them
in.
I know.
Them in,
that's a good point.
Okay.
I'll tell them to do that.
Right.
At 10:40, we're going to talk to our buddy Tom King, Pat's beat writer. We love Tom King.
We do love Tom
King. And I don't know if there is a lock this weekend, it's that the Patriots are going to beat this Houston team. Am I right?
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, even Mother Nature wants the Patriots to win because of the storm and postponing the Kansas City game, so instead of playing early on Sunday, they're playing late. So,
well, what does that have to do with anything, really?
Well, what if Pittsburgh wins, the travel, all that kind of stuff?
They don't play till next week.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. Just, you just hate the Pats.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, of the eight teams left, they cannot win it.
I just don't listen. I'm sick of as a non-Patriot. I'm sick of the Patriots. I get where you can but I don't dislike them. I mean, I kind of look at them and think, wow.
I don't dislike them. Yeah. I just don't want them to win.
You don't want them to win. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, they're going to win tomorrow, but we're going to talk to Tom King about that. But there's other information with the Patriots. I mean, is Josh McDaniel going to go to San Francisco? I mean, there was a very big report out that whoever gets the job is going to have complete control of being the general manager as well and personnel, so that'll be very interesting to talk to him. We're going to talk to Sweeney Murdy, WFAN New York, and the Yankees Baseball Radio Network is going to join us in the second half of the show at 11:20. We're going to talk some hot stove Yankee baseball because now that the Giants are out, we got to talk about something, right, Dave? We got to have New York flavor in here.
I'm going to tell Sweeney about my big idea.
No, you're not talking to Sweeney about anything. Every time we have somebody that we get really excited about on this show, you have to ask people for free stuff. That's what you do.
But he's got an idea. He's not asking for an idea.
I know what his idea is. His idea is going to include him being there somewhere, being in the booth or going somewhere on the field. He'll want somebody's autograph. Can you get me a jersey?
Give him a chance.
Yeah, no, I've given you many chances.
What?
I'm just telling you right now. I know how you roll.
You do?
I know how you roll. We're going to talk to Sweeney. But listen, the Yankees, it'll be interesting to talk to him about this. Spring training's right around the corner. Thank goodness, because the weather, I can't take any more cold weather. So the spring training is coming.
It was 40 degrees on Thursday.
It was 55 degrees on Thursday.
Exactly.
I took my dog for a walk. I forgot what month it was. Yeah, really. I know you've had a rough week, Bernie. You've had a rough week. But, hey, listen, we're here now. We got a great show coming up. Hey, another few things. Martin St. Louis, I can't even talk myself.
Probably because you're standing.
Yeah, I changed my style here.
He used to sit. Remember when he used to sit back in the old days?
He was so relaxed. And now he's up and he's jumping. He's flailing around.
That's who I am.
Got that deep voice.
Yeah. That's right. Martin St. Louis just had his number 26.
Awesome.
Unbelievable, right? Former UVM star, the Tampa Bay Lightning, just retired his number.
Last night.
And the number 20 pick. From UVM, Brian Wright, UVM star soccer player, is going to play for the New England Revolution.
Awesome!
That is such a great thing. Yeah. I think it's exciting that that's two local. I mean, two guys that were superstars here at UVM, and now obviously St. Louis made it already with the NHL. He's arguably one of the greatest players ever to play.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I remember when Tampa Bay first got him, and they'd say, "We'll put you on the minor system, and we'll give you a look."
Yeah, and now number 26 hanging from the Raptors down there. Listen, it's an awesome story, and I think the fact that it's kind of happened in the same week is pretty exciting if you're a Vermont Catamount fan.
Yeah, it is. It's just unbelievable. I mean, you look at what's going on at UVM between those two great recognitions of St. Louis and Wright, and then the hockey team with a big win last night in Providence, the basketball team, doing it. It's just so much good, positive mojo coming from the top of the hill here in Burlington.
It really is exciting. And the UVM women's basketball team has really improved. The UVM women's hockey team is doing really, really well. I actually see their coach a lot. He lives in our neighborhood, so we seem to cross each other. And we're walking our dogs around the neighborhood, but he's very excited, and that team's playing really well. And again, we talk UVM sports a lot on this show, and we talk about the ups and downs, but there's so many ups, and you're talking about a real mid-major program, in most sports, even though Hockey East is the best you can play in, essentially, college hockey. But, it's a great campus, UVM, but it's not one of the elite campuses. But what they've been able to do athletically over the years, look at the soccer program. I mean, you got a top 20 pick coming out of your program? That's unheard of.
Right.
It's what they're doing here is amazing.
It is. It really is. And, I kind of shift my attention more towards the basketball side. And, after they beat Binghamton on Wednesday, their RPI ranking was in the top 75.
That's amazing.
In the top 75.
And you don't expect, and let's be honest, it's only going to get better.
Right.
You got to figure. I mean, listen, I'm not going to say there aren't going to be any tests along the way with the America East play, but this basketball team is on a mission and they're rolling. And what I like about them mostly, and you can probably say better than I can, is they look like they're focused and rolling. Like they're nobody's too excited. Nobody's getting too pumped here. It's one game at a time. They have a goal in mind. And I got to tell you, they look like they're going to roll through this.
You would, think so. They're, at the quarter turn of the America East, regular season schedule. And they've played very well early on, And again, last night, really started off well. UMBC is a very talented team.
They were undefeated coming in.
And, but the Catamounts got to quickly turn around, go to New Hampshire and play on Monday at 1:00. So just a lot of good stuff happening.
And now we got to turn the page here because.
Why?
Well, listen, last week you and I had a tough defeat.
Oh, it's awful.
Okay, the Giants went to Green Bay.
It's just awful.
Nothing I did worked. I have a lot of routines. I'm kind of a.
Hey, look, we don't even know where your franchise is playing, you're calling us babies.
Yeah,
you got like a 30-year-old coach now. And
Who? The Rams?
Yeah.
Who's the coach? I thought we didn't got it. We don't have a head coach.
No, I thought you announced the head coach.
We do have a coach.
Yeah. Way to pay attention. Yeah. Anyway, let me get to my point.
That's why I like this show. I get to learn about sports.
Yeah, and they traded Todd Gurley.
No.
Okay, they did.
Yes. Well, you're not going to trade him now. It's like you wouldn't get anything back for him.
No.
Such a horrible season.
I think that wasn't his fault.
California girls are what's taking away his legs.
Anyway, Giants with a tough loss last week. We had, frustrating, and I'm not going to get into it because the Giants are out, so whatever. Yep. But I think there needs to be some rules on trash talking. On Facebook, I took some abuse from some friends of mine that, are fans of the 49ers and the Eagles and teams that aren't even relevant right now. And I think there needs to be a rule that if your team isn't any good and didn't make the playoffs and had a terrible year, you shouldn't be allowed to talk smack. Like, for example, I've got some very good friends that are Dallas Cowboy fans, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow with Green Bay and Dallas. But I will not be going on Facebook and ranting about, ha-ha, in your face for my Packer fans, friend fans, and ha-ha, in your face for Cowboys, because the Giants are out. I don't have a leg to stand on. So that should be the rule. If your team isn't in it, you can't talk smack to me, period. Just get over it. I got a buddy of mine that's a San Francisco 49er fan. You should have seen him last week. He was relentless. I'm like, you're a 49er fan. Am I right, Bernie? Am I right? You're kind of leaving me out here. I mean, come on.
You're right.
Even though you're one of the biggest trash talkers in the world. So maybe, it's hard for you to agree with me on this.
Yeah.
I mean, you were driving me crazy, and I'm a Giant fan on Sunday.
I know. I was so fed up. I had nowhere else to go, so I had to turn to you.
Oh, man,
so thank you.
You were abusing me on text.
Because everything was blaming Eli.
I know, but Eli, come on, Eli.
He has spell eliminated without Eli.
He was okay. I mean, it was his fault.
Dave, that's pretty funny. I like that.
That's a good one.
Did you hear that one?
No, go ahead.
Can't spell eliminated without Eli.
How many times did you see that on Facebook over the week? My God, that was on there about every half an hour.
Funny.
With that goofy looking face he has. Somebody took a good picture of that.
Well, one of my buddies sends me a picture of Peyton Manning, doing the DirecTV commercial.
Sure.
Says, hey, Eli, you're off. You coming over on Tuesday?
And fair enough. It's fine. That's totally fine. But when, this one friend of mine, my 40, he's a good buddy of mine. He's a great guy. But every post, and he was just digging and digging. I'm thinking, come on, you're a 49er fan. I mean, you knock it off. I mean, you're easy target. You were kicked out of the playoffs in August. I mean, come on.
They lost to the Jets.
I wish I remembered that. That would have been a good one. That could have, and they lost to the Jets at home, and they let the Jets come back and win.
Right.
Unbelievable. Am I alone on this?
The trash.
Wait, both of you. All of a sudden, both of your heads are down.
Well, the trash.
You leave me out here on an island by myself.
No, hold on. I'm going to say, your Eagle fans have the right because they beat us. They beat us.
Big deal.
So what?
Oh, come on.
What do you mean big deal? We're in the playoffs, but they beat us.
Listen, the Giants finished the year at 11-5. If they played, if they didn't play in the NFC East, they would have been the number 2 seed. Think about that. They'd be playing this week. They'd have a home game. Anyway, whatever they're
Another out. Another one bites the dust.
Oh, yeah. God, rough year. But that was a great year.
More importantly, who do you want to win less, Green Bay or Dallas?
Oh, Green Bay.
Oh, No,
I can't. I can't root for Dallas. I don't want Dallas to win.
I don't know. There's just so many obnoxious Packer and Cowboy fans.
I know. I'm sorry. Listen, you can deal with a Packer fan. I mean, look, get it. A Packer fan, you can deal with. A Dallas fan? No. I have a hard time with that. But I think Dallas has got a good football team.
Last time I saw a Packer and a Cowboy on the big screen, it was that movie Brokeback Mountain.
Can I say that?
No, Dave, you can't. And now you are banned from ever speaking on this radio show again. John Becker's next. UVM basketball. We'll be right back.
Another one bites the dust. Burlington and Plattsburgh's home for sport.
Cup sometime.
I would love it.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Good morning. It is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. You're listening to Sports Saturday. It is a balmy under 20 degree day in the greater Burlington area.
Miserable.
It is miserable. I mean,
it's miserable.
And when it's in the 50s, it feels good, doesn't it?
It does.
You kind of forget that it's only mid-January. We got a long way to go. But hey, I'll tell you where it's not too cold. It's at Patrick Gym.
That's right.
Where these red hot UVM Catamounts are playing right now. I gotta love this team. So exciting. You have to be stoked. Because you bleed the yellow and green. I mean, you are all about UVM hoops. You've been around this program, this team for a long time. What they're doing right now is special.
It really is. And, you know, just from top to bottom, the balance and just the humbleness to where they just go and get it is just, it's awesome to watch.
And now we get to talk on the TikTok Julius Gastelli, one of my favorite coaches in the country. Him and Tony Bennett, of course.
Of course.
I love my guy, Tony.
Yes.
But my other favorite is John Becker, the head coach of the UVM Cats. He joins us right now on Sports Saturday. Good morning, Coach. Congratulations. Huge win last night, buddy.
Thank you very much. It's the Golden Green.
The Golden Green. I'm sorry. See, again, I need to be correct. So why can't I see? I was trying to throw out. I was trying to fool Bernie on that one. See, you dropped the ball.
It's not hard today.
It's a rough week for the Bernie. Hey, big win last night. Undefeated UMBC comes to town. You guys were in a hard fought game, had a lead early, and then had kind of a cold spell in the second half, but found a way to hold on to get the W. Talk about the win and what it means to your team.
Yeah, I mean, UMBC is good. I mean, they were a fast team. They posed a problem for us. Their center got hurt before the game, so they're, small ball. And then, like you said, in the second half, we went over 10 minutes without scoring a field goal, missed a bunch of free throws. But we found a way, and I thought our non-conference schedule and the close games we played there kind of helped us out, at Maine, and then again helped us out last night. I thought we were composed and down the stretch and executed, and really when Trey Bell Haynes was in foul trouble, he only played 20 minutes, scored 20 points, and when we got him back in the game, I thought he was the difference down the stretch, and he continues to play at a high level. But it was a fun night. It was a Friday night game. It was different and a great crowd, and it was a fun game and a really good UMBC team, and so we feel fortunate this morning to come out with the win.
Yeah, but no rest for the weary. I think you're on a stretch now of playing six conference games in the span of 12 days. You got to go to New Hampshire on Monday, and then you get Lowell at home Thursday. Has your your depth has really helped you in these first four games?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been huge, Bernie. I think, we've been able to sustain injury, the injury to Peyton Henson, and then now that he's back, and then Josh Hurley, I think, really has emerged off the bench. And Darren Payne has continued to play at a high level. I think our depth has allowed us to sustain injuries and sustain the schedule. And that's been a huge thing. And it's a problem, a good problem for me in the sense that trying to get everyone adequate minutes, I think you have to be able to play a certain amount in a game to get into the rhythm of the game. But we're able to play 10, 11 guys, double digit minutes. The guys, I got to give a lot of credit, are all bought into winning. But I think our depth has paid dividends. Now New Hampshire has to play today. They got three guys that are basically playing 40 minutes a game in conference. So the quick turnaround, on Monday afternoon will be interesting. I think that's where we really may see the benefits of this depth and the scheduling, where we moved this game to Friday night for UMBC because they were at Hartford on Wednesday and wanted to kind of stay on the road without having to go home and come back. That may also pay dividends on Monday.
Coach, what's the message right now? Obviously, you're a team that, let's face it, I mean, Bernie and I can talk about this. I know you probably can't, but you are the team to beat, in my opinion, in the America East Conference. You're a team that is on a mission. I mean, your record right now is 14-5 overall. You're 4-0. Arguably, you had a couple really tough losses to some big programs in your early season. What is the message right now to this team to keep them focused? Because to me, they look very mature. They look very businesslike. I we've been following this team for a long time. This is one of the most focused UVM teams I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I think that's a great observation, and that's what these guys are really focused, and with the schedule and where we are right now, it's like an NBA type deal where we're just kind of we have today off, tomorrow we're light practices, a lot of walkthrough, a lot of walking through stuff, getting shots up, free throws, and these guys are really. The coaching staff has done a good job of coming up with game plans and communicating those to the guys, a lot of film work. These guys are really locked in. I mean, the practices are businesslike. Mike Trimboli came to practice the other day, and in talking with him afterwards, he was just he was impressed with the there was no BS with our guys and the business-like approach that these guys are taking practices, and it's the seniors are really really been locked in, you know, and you see it in Kurt and Dre's and Darren's play of late, and then with Trey Bell Haynes and those guys, it's there's no they're not caught up in their own hype, and I've been really impressed with the focus and the business-like approach that these guys have been taking.
You know, and Coach, to follow up on the seniors, you know, you always talk about how leadership helps propel to championships, and Kurt Steidel, you know, has always been steady. But Dre Wills and Darren Payne coming off the bench have been tremendous. And, I mean, you can even make a case that, you know, Darren Payne, for the way he's playing just in the America East, you know, could be an all-league player right now for what he's done in the first four games. Talk about him and Dre especially and what they've, you know, what they've done to help lead this team.
Yeah, I mean, Dre has come a long way, and I'm really proud of him. He is, you know, I think he's the best wing, guard defender in the league, and, you know, he should be an all-defensive player guy again this year and maybe defensive player of the year for the way that he is playing. And he's the most competitive kid I've ever coached, and you never want to put that out in a kid, or the fire out in a kid, but at times I have to in practice. He just he can't stand losing. And him and Trey really, along with and Kurt, these guys are really competitive kids. And Dre is just, from an offensive standpoint, teams don't play him. It's like Brian Boeckel again. They're playing way off, but he's figured out a way to be attacking offensively, and his offensive game is really polished up a little bit. He's found his knack there, obviously. And then with Darren, you know, you got to give the kid a lot of credit again. Like, he was out of the rotation earlier in this year, and he never let that bother him. He was prepared, and then when Peyton went down, he got an opportunity off the bench and has played at an extremely high level. The Binghamton game the other night, played a so-so first half, and the second half had some incredible and-one finishes that really helped us win that game. And then again last night in the second half, a couple huge offensive rebounds and ones. And it's awesome to see, you know, and these guys have all, you know, Darren started for most of the year last year. Nate Rohr didn't get off the bench. He started for eight games last year. But there's no, you know, as a coach, you know, you have we're with each other a lot. You have a feel for the guys and feel for their moods. And I don't sense any unhappiness with minutes, role. They've all bought in, and they're all seem to be on the same page. And it's all, to me, can be traced back to the Stony Brook championship game last year. And I hope it continues, you know, because, like you said, these seniors have really set the tone. And Kurt, you know, I mean, wasn't making shots in the beginning of the year, but, you know, I can't, he's a hard guy to take out of the game for what he does from an execution of the game plan standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, from a rebounding standpoint. Now he's making shots, he's making contested shots, which is a big deal. And, you know, I thought, you know, I look at Kurt out there, I see a kid that seems to be on a mission, and when he's making shots, and what he does, all the other things he brings to our team. You know, I was really happy for him to get recognized last night for joining, along with you, the 1,000-point club, and the nice ovation he got from our fans. And so, yeah, our seniors are really setting a really nice example.
You know, Coach, first of all, thank you. And now that we've passed we're at the quarter pole here of the America East, what do you want to see continue to progressively improve, you know, for the last three-fourths of the season? What is glaring to you right now that has to get better?
Number one is free throw shooting. You know, I keep going into the game. We end up shooting, I think, 18 for 24 last night, but four misses in a row by Urquhart, you know, in that stretch where we didn't have a field goal for 10 minutes is tough. And so we're not shooting free throws well enough. You know, it's going to catch up with us if we don't fix that. And that's something that, as you know, it's hard to practice free throws. You know, do you practice more? Do you practice less? Do you talk about it, not talk about it? So the guys are in today shooting free throws. We're not practicing, but I told them get in the gym and shoot free throws. Defensively, we have to me, and it's been since day one, if we can just focus on defense, the offensive part of the offensive side of the ball is going to take care of itself just with the collection of guys we have and the mostly offensively minded guys. If we can continue to focus on the defensive end of the court, that's going to be a good thing for us. So, you know, continue focus on defense, shoot better free throws. Those are the messages that, you know, I'll continue to harp on the guys right now.
Coach, before we let you go, we only have a few minutes left. I know Bernie has a really important question he wants to ask before I let you go.
Yeah, I'm sure it's Knicks related. Yeah.
But I do want to say, you know, we talked to you a lot, and we talk a lot about your players and the program. But I think more importantly to me, and what's most impressive is your development as a coach and what you've been able to bring to the program. You know, I mean, you followed two very high profile coaches, and you've brought this program back. Not that it's never left prominence, but you continue to sustain it and get this program back to where it is. Talk about your development as a coach and where you are today and how difficult it is. I mean, look, there's a lot of pressure to be the best, and you continually put a good product out every year. Talk about the pressure it is to be you every day and what it's been like for you being the head coach here at UVM.
Yeah, I mean, it's been the greatest honor of my, you know, of my career to you know, hold the torch for this program right now. And, you know, any head coach, you know, you're only as good as your staff and your assistants. And I have an awesome staff, you know, and I've been fortunate to have Kyle with me my whole time here and have some continuity with my staff. So that's, they kind of, prop me up to a degree. But, and have an awesome family situation, you know, and with my wife and my family, the sacrifices they make and the support that they continue to give me, you know, and as the time has gone on, all of that has just sunk in, and there's, you know, the sacrifices that the people make around you become more comfortable, and everyone understands what it takes to be successful or to do the job. And so I think those things, the tension on and off the court, with your staff, you become more comfortable with each other, which makes things a lot easier. But I also think as time, I've learned to enjoy it more. I always feel like I have something to prove, and so that motivates me. But I've learned in the off seasons to enjoy it a little bit more and to throttle it down I have some of other coaches within the department that I've learned to lean on and get guidance from. And so all of those things, you know, help me sustain and maintain, because it is a grind during the season for all coaches. And, you know, you have to learn how to, you know, navigate that to sustain some longevity in this business. And, you know, so that's me. And, you know, just having Bob Corn as my boss and now Jeff Shulman, they've always been, really helped me, mentor me, and calm me down. Cause I do take it very seriously, and I feel an awesome responsibility, to this program, to this community, to the university, to give them something to be proud of. And, you know, that's something that I think about every day, and hopefully I continue to make, people proud of our program.
And coach, before we go, Jeannie and Phil break up. Derrick Rose goes AWOL. Melo gets thrown out. Talk to me about the state of the union with the Knicks.
I am just crushed. I don't even know what to say anymore. I don't know how you, with Derrick Rose, how you don't go to work and not tell your boss. I mean, I just don't understand how that's possible. Melo, you know, seems time for change there, and yeah, it's really devastating because seems like they have enough pieces to put out a better product, but it just continues to be a disappointing situation. And you know, I got farther. You know, usually I buy the league pass every year for the NBA to watch the Knicks, and usually, you know, a month into the season, I'm regretting having paid the $200 for it. But I got a little farther in the year before I wished I didn't buy the league pass. But I'm back to not even, you know, really watching the games much anymore. So that's disappointing. So, but
so they're a mess, unlike the Celtics.
Yeah. Me and Kyle argue all the time, but the 76ers are closer to a championship than the Celtics.
Coach right. Becker, thanks for the time, buddy. Good luck on Monday and continued success. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
all
Coach.
Right.
Great John Becker. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to talk Patriot football with the great Tom King. Hang in there.
Sports Saturday. Saturday.
Issue your statement and I'll rebuttal.
On my
are
last...
you done yet? No. Okay.
On 101.3 ESPN.
It is Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. I am Jeff Paul. Bernie Siplicki and Dave Hunter are all here.
How you doing?
Hey, man. I'm doing all right. I'm having a rough morning so far. I had a good fruit cup.
You did.
But I'm having a rough... I'm messing up the colors of UVM. You know.
Come on.
Well, I might be colorblind. One person's gold is another guy's yellow. One person's yellow, another guy's gold.
You're yellow.
Anyway, I've never seen a playoff game get, you know, it's almost as if like it's just a done deal. I don't know if I've ever watched an NFL playoff game or prepped for an NFL playoff game that seems like it's like a mid-season game.
Well, we must be talking about the Patriots.
But we are talking about the New England Patriots. As they host the Texans from Houston.
There's only one good thing about the Patriots that I like, and it's what's coming next.
Our guest on the TikTok Jewish guest hotline, our favorite Patriot beat writer, the great Tom King. Tom, good morning, pal. What's happening?
Good morning, guys. I think before I watch this game, I'm going to have a fruit cup. How's that?
Hey, man, listen, I don't know. You didn't hear earlier, but my argument about the fruit cup is you can have. There's a lot of overrated, underrated fruit cups. You can't have too much melon in the fruit cup. And I found a place today that puts not very much melon and a lot of pineapple, grapes, and watermelon in that fruit cup.
But you haven't had one of my own homemade fruit cups, I have awaiting me now. After I finish this segment,
does it include
true? That is a true thing. I do have fresh fruit that I make myself.
Does it include crunch berries in said fruit cup? That's my question.
Blueberries?
No,
crunch berries.
Crunch
like
berries.
The Captain Crunch, you know. Crunch berries.
Oh, that's after.
Oh, okay, I got you. A chaser. That's good, Tom. That's good. It's always good.
No, we do the whole fruit thing all day. Here we got blueberries. We got melon. We got mango.
You got to go light melon, though. You got to go light on the melon. Melon.
It's got a lot of other stuff. Strawberries, blueberries,
right.
A whole bit.
All right. I'm glad to hear that, Tom. That's good. And I'm glad you're getting a good meal before this big game today.
Is it like a Tom Brady diet that's made him, you know...
I'm tempted to put avocado in it, but I've resisted that temptation.
Okay. Ooh, I don't know. I would do that.
I'm all over that. Right.
God, no, you don't mix that.
All right, let's talk about this game today. I mean, listen, everybody on paper feels like this is just going to be another Patriot blowout. Houston showed some good signs last week. The quarterback played a little bit better. Their defense is obviously very good. Can Houston into Foxborough today and get this done?
If I was their quarterback, they might have a good chance. You know? But Brock Osweiler is a quarterback, and he stinks.
Yeah.
All right? I mean, let's not hold back. He can't read a defense to save his life. He can't. I watched him in the game back in late September, and he sat back there, and he looked around, and then he panicked, and he threw, 4 yards. And, you know, because he couldn't read defenses. He couldn't in Denver. That's why they replaced him with Peyton Manning at the end of the season. Once Manning got healthy, they said, we got to get Manning back there so at least we can see what teams are doing to us. And Osweiler just doesn't have the ability to do that. I don't know why. I think that the marriage there was a shotgun marriage. I don't think Bill O'Brien really wanted Osweiler, but it was forced upon him. And I think that's one of the reasons why O'Brien is probably going to be coaching his last game today with the Texans. So that's the disadvantage. I mean, Houston's got some players. DeAndre Hopkins on offense. You know, and they've got on defense, obviously, you know, Clowney, Jonathan Joseph, you know, Marcellus. They've got some players. They've got the number one ranked defense in the league. But we see way too much of them because they're on the field too long. Because their offense is 3-0. I mean, this is not a team that can score a lot of points. 27 points is the most they've scored, I think, once this season. And that's just not going to get it done against the Patriots. You know, it's going to be, you know, whoever the Patriots face next week in the AFC Championship game, it'll be, they may not be as good as the Patriots, but they're going to be a heck of a lot better than the Houston Texans.
So, Tom, you know, what do you think Houston has to do to keep this close, to keep people awake, just to stay up to watch the second half?
Put me in at quarterback. I mean, really, come on. You know, defensively, they're just going to have to play the game of their lives. They're going to have to make up for their quarterback. And the problem that good defenses now face when they play the Patriots is New England, at least with Brady, just don't turn the ball over. They may fumble here and there, but they just don't turn it over. And if that's the case, they're in for a long day. If their defense can't force a couple of turnovers and get a score, they're in for a long night. It's really, you know, we're all in the media, we're all hoping that this thing is over with by halftime so people leave. So we can get out of there at a decent hour tonight. Decent hour meaning, you know, 1:30 instead of 2:30. So, you know, who knows? But what their game, you know, I was disappointed not in the fact that when Houston came to Foxborough and to Gillette in late September for that Thursday night slop, their game plan and what they were doing, they couldn't beat Jacoby Brissett. And that's with a team coached by the Patriots' former defensive coordinator, by their former offensive coordinator, by one of their, you know, better players defensively over the years in Wilfork, you know, playing up front. And it just seemed that they just weren't able to get anything done and didn't really have a clue as to what to do. And that really shocked me. And if that's the case, then I don't know what to expect, if anything, better from them tonight in terms of making it a game. And that was with Brady not playing. That was with the third-string Patriot quarterback playing. And he injured his thumb in the second half and couldn't throw the ball after that. So what does Houston have to do? Not show up. I guess. I don't know. This is just as bad of a matchup as I've seen in the divisional round. I thought the Colts were a bad matchup in the AFC Championship game a couple of years ago, but this seems to be even worse. So, you know, we'll see what Houston can. We'll see if Houston can play some defense, some tight defense, and you know, keep the Patriots down a little bit.
As strong as the matchup is for the Patriots this week, we get it. But the Patriots have not played very many meaningful teams down the stretch here. Their schedule's been tough. So let's say they get through Houston, which we all think is going to happen. You've got two very game teams waiting, either Pittsburgh or Kansas City. Which team gives them a challenge? And is New England as dominant as we think they are? I mean, it's like they seem like to be the enigma to me, because you look at their personnel right now and you think nobody makes you go, oh, wow, except for maybe Brady. And then at the other end of the spectrum, you think, you know, wow, Pittsburgh and Kansas City are two really talented teams. I mean, is New England this dominant force, or are they kind of being, you know, is it camouflaged a little bit because of the schedule they've played down the stretch?
Well, the schedule really can. Did you say dominant or dumb? I'm trying to.
trust me, it's dominant. I didn't say. Well, I don't. Maybe I said dumb. I don't know where I would have used that.
this is wondering that. The schedule obviously masks a lot of things. It masks the fact that they didn't have one of their premier defensive players the second half of the season because they traded him away. It masks the fact that, you know, they at wide receiver, while it's very capable, it's not, you know, race you down the field and beat you deep. You know, they don't have that. It masks the fact that they were without their best receiver in Gronkowski, their tight end. That really helped. You know, that really helped. Now, Baltimore gave him a little bit of a challenge in the Monday night game. I didn't think Denver was going to really challenge them because I didn't think Denver could score that much. If you play the Patriots, you either have to be able to score or get a turnover, and Denver didn't do that. They didn't get any turnovers. So those are the big, those are the main games. I think the last time the Patriots were really challenged, losing late in the game, was, believe it or not, against the Jets at the Meadowlands back in, you know, Thanksgiving weekend. So that masked a lot of things. You're right. But, next week, we'll wait and see what happens next week. Those two poor teams got to play now. They got to play on Sunday night, so in Kansas City. So that's a little different recovery and everything else for the next week in the AFC Championship game. But they're definitely a head and shoulders above what the Patriots have seen. Pittsburgh, not so much defensively, but offensively. And Kansas City, not so much offensively, but defensively. Although I think the Texans defense is probably as good as what the Patriots will see with if they play the Chiefs.
So, Tom, who do you think, assuming the Patriots win, will be playing in the championship round next week?
I got to say Kansas City. I know everybody likes Pittsburgh because of the stars and the flash and dash on offense and everything else, and Le'Veon Bell, the way he's played. But I got to say, you got the Chiefs playing at home at night with that crowd and that defense, especially, you know, moving that game from the middle of the day middle of the day to nighttime. I think that, you know, that place will be rocking. And it should be interesting. You know, it really should. If the Chiefs play, it's going to make a little extra work for me because we got a local on the team. So that's going to be a little difficult. Kendall Reyes is one of their defensive players. They signed him about a month into the season. I just think now Kansas City, I don't think can score a lot of points to beat the Patriots. I think that they proved that last year with Alex Smith, and he just basically is, you know, takes care of the ball, which is good, but you need to put points up on the board. Once the Patriots get a lead in that game, the Chiefs aren't going to be able to come from behind. But Pittsburgh could. But I don't think that either team is – I think the Patriots have their ticket punched to Houston already. But, you know, you got to play the game, so we'll see what happens.
Tom King, real quick before we let you go, we only have a minute left. Josh McDaniel, is he going to be on the sideline with the Patriots next year, or is he going to be in San Francisco?
Well, I think San Francisco's – I think that depends on who San Francisco hires as their personnel guy, because they're looked at – look, as dumb as York, and that is dumb and not dominant, as their owner, Jeb York, may be or may seem, he does recognize the fact that he had bad marriages between his GM and coaches the last two or three times. So he wants to get that taken care of and make sure you got two guys that are on the same page. So I think a lot of it's going to depend on who they bring in to be their personnel guy, and it's going to come down to two guys. It's obviously going to come down to two guys because they haven't hired anybody with all the assistants that were out there interviewing, and it's probably going to be between Shanahan and McDaniels. And I don't know. You know, teams sometimes will panic, and they'll hire because the guy's already available. But I don't think Shanahan will be available after this week either. I think Atlanta wins today as well. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Tom King, thanks for the input, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Enjoy the Fruit Cup, brother.
I'm going for it right now.
Thanks, Tom.
Have a great day. Interesting information. I mean, he's a, you know, I mean, again, you got to love the Pats today, but, you know, I mean, got to give Houston that
you don't, shot. You don't have to love the Pats today, but they'll win.
Well, listen, hey, by the way, hey, if you're looking for a place to watch a game tonight, you know you're going to be watching the Patriots Texans as Tom Brady and company start their run to the Super Bowl. Well, we want you to come watch it with us. The brand new McGillicuddy's at Essex Five Corners is where we will be. We'll have all kinds of great giveaways, including UVM basketball and hockey tickets and awesome swag from our friends at Love Vermont 802. So come out and enjoy some great food and drink specials and watch the Pats game with us at McGillicuddy's Essex. Game starts at 8 p.m. I'm going, Bernie. I'll be there, pal.
That's good. And, you know, hopefully Houston can make Rich squirm a little bit here in the first
it's
half.
It's always fun to watch Rich squirm, isn't it?
Yeah, and then, you know, if Seattle loses, Brady might be a little bit upset. So could be a tough night up there.
Yeah, it might be. But you and I have been squirming for a week already. So
yeah, well, we're done.
All right, speaking of squirming,
we'll be right back.
Burlington and Plattsburgh's home for sports. Getting you ready for game day.
We're good, and I'm here, and I appreciate you mentioning that I look disheveled. That's nice.
Well, I mean, you know, nobody sees it but me and Dave, so that's okay.
There's a reason they put me on the radio and not TV. You understand? Yeah.
Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Bernie, were you a wrestling fan growing up?
Absolutely.
Who's your guy?
Oh, wow.
I mean, oh, Hogan was the Macho Man.
I was more of a villain guy.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of liked the Ted DiBiase's when he was bad.
Now you're throwing back. Do you remember the Von Erichs?
Of course. Carrie, Kevin, and Michael.
Yeah. Oh, man. Those guys are the best.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I came across this. I don't know if you've... I'm telling you, if you don't have the Bleacher Report on your phone, you got to get it. It's awesome. But anyway, this guy came across. He's from Pakistan. He's the Pakistani Hulk. He's 6'3". Now, he says he weighs 68 and a half stones. Now, I don't know if that means that they weigh you by stones over there, but that equals out to 960 pounds.
What?
He eats 36 eggs for breakfast every day. He's 25 years old. He wants to be in the WWE. You should see if you have...
6'3", 960.
Yeah, let's go through this. 6'3", 960-pound man.
How can he move?
Well, let me tell you something. If you Google this guy... They have videos of him actually sitting in a chair holding a rope that's attached to a tractor. The tractor is trying to go backwards and not going anywhere. This is a strong... You should see the meat puppies on this guy, the hands he's got.
What's his name again?
Al.
What do you got? What do we got to Google?
Well, you just Google the Pakistani Hulk. I would do that because the name... I don't want to butcher the name, but I have to tell you, man, this guy is a monster. It's unbelievable how big this guy is, but I'm not lying. He's holding a tractor back. Looks like he's sitting in a lawn chair like maybe you had back in 1978 at your grandmother's house. You know those ones that look like they've got the like their different colored like string that's attached? You're just sitting in it, holding it with one hand. This tractor's trying to go backwards, going nowhere. That would be the Pakistani Hulk. I think he needs to be part of the WWE, and I want to have him on Sports Saturday sometime as well because this is a big boy.
Yeah.
I mean... Big boy.
He'd be a good hockey goalie, too.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, he would be a great hockey goalie. Yeah. If you look at the size of the guy, his chest, like his shoulders, he is a big man.
You mean strong-looking?
Oh, strong-looking. Yeah. I mean, he's thick. He's a big... He looks like he'd be some wrestler.
You'd think he'd be thick at 960.
Yeah, 960 at 6'3". That's, you know... 6'3 is big, but that's not that tall. That's a lot of weight. Eh, Burn?
That's a lot of weight.
And then they talk about it being 68 and a half stone. I don't know. I've never heard of that, but it says that equals a 960 pounds.
I'll explain it to you sometime.
All right. We'll take a break. I should take a break after listening to that. All right, David. It's time for your Sports Center. Let's see if we can improve.
Yeah.
WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh.
Hey, this is Traylor Haynes.
Hey, this is Kurt Suttle of the University of Vermont basketball team.
And you're listening to your home for UVM Hoops.
101.3 ESPN. Go Cats.
Trey Bell Haynes had 20 points and Kurt Steidel added 11, leading the Vermont Catamounts to a huge 81-72 win over UMBC last night in front of a packed house at Patrick Gym. It was the 20th straight win for the Retrievers for UVM, or over the Retrievers. The game did not lack drama. UVM overcame an 11-and-a-half-minute stretch without a basket in the second half, but a floater by Haynes with a minute to go. Some clutch free throw shooting sealed the deal for the Cats. UVM returning to action Monday at New Hampshire at 1 o'clock. Last night, men's hockey on the ice. UVM held to a 4-3 win over Providence in Hockey East play. The win moved the Cats to a 15-6-2 overall record. And in Hockey East at 7-3-1. The Cats are back on the ice tonight for a rematch with the Friars. The puck drops at 5 p.m. And in local high school basketball, it was Mount Mansfield routing North Country 55-33. Burlington cruising past Essex 68-41. Virgins got by Mount Abe in overtime 79-69. Rutland beat Middlebury 78-31 on the girls' side. BFA St. Albans beat Mount Mansfield 54-40. BFA Fairfax slipped by Enosburg 38-27. And Lamoille cruised to a 43-18 win over Montpelier. Also, Middlebury got a win over Winooski 54-42. In high school girls hockey, it was BFA St. Albans shutting out Burn Burton 8-0. NFL on the air today, 4 o'clock. Coverage starts for Seattle and Atlanta, followed by Houston at New England. Coverage starts there at 7:45 right here at 101.3 ESPN. I'm David Hunter, Sports Saturday, hour number 2, with Jeff and Bernie standing by.
Show is just off the deep end.
Sports Saturday.
Honestly, it's like driving off a cliff.
On 101.3.
Honestly.
ESPN.
So 14 pounds is one stone, I was just told. Okay. So he is 68 and a half of those said stones. That's 960 pounds.
Yikes. That's a lot.
That's a big boy.
Yeah.
That's your big boy right there.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I don't know if you paid attention, but we got the San Diego Chargers moving to L.A. Today, the Oakland Raiders filed paperwork. They want to go to Vegas. I mean, crazy. I mean, it's crazy. 655-6672, the number to call if you want to join the show. 802-655-6672. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN. I am not 68 and a half stones.
No.
Nope. I'm trying to do the math in my head, which is not smart for me, but I'm way under that.
Good.
How many stones do you think you are, Bernie?
Oh, a few.
Yeah, you're a couple stones.
Yeah.
Big stones, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of that, are you feeling okay? I know you had a rough and tumble week. You know, no pun intended.
Oh, Jeff.
You know, went out for the mail and did the old.
You know, that Wednesday was icy before it got
a little
warm.
Slippery,
my wife calls me. She's like, hey, just be careful when you go out there because our side roads are really bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, in one ear, out the other.
Sure.
I go to the mailbox. I totally forget. I do the Fred
just Flintstone. Just a yard sale.
Just, oh. Both feet up at the sky. Oh, hit my head on the road first.
Oh, my God.
Like, get up. The doorbell.
Get up, Rock. Get up.
The doorbell is ringing in the ears.
Oh, God.
Just feel awful.
I wish. Did anybody see it?
Thank God, no.
Oh, my God. That's like, but, I mean, I wish somebody could have video. I'm glad you're okay.
Yes,
videotape you. And if you don't know Bernie, he's a big boy. You know, he's like, what are you, 6'5", 6'6"?
6'3".
Whatever. No, you're as tall as the Hulk.
But I'm not as many stones.
No, you're a lot less stones. But, man, it's a lot. You know, let me just say this about this, and I'm glad you're okay because it does make me a little bit nervous. But I will say this. It's a long way down from that melon of yours down to that pavement. So, you know, gravity must have taken over, man.
Oh,
I mean, I'm glad that you're okay.
It hurt. And, like, the crazy thing, like, my whole back popped. Like, you could feel every vertebrae. My back feels great.
It must have made you a little nervous in the beginning, though. Like, you hear pop, 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 pop.
Yeah,
and you're laying on the ground.
No, I mean, it's just a disaster.
All right. David, go ahead.
Dan from Essex.
Oh, Dan from Essex on the line. I think I know what this is going to be about. I think Dan, are you you're my buddy that's a San Diego fan, correct?
You got it, brother.
Hey, man, listen, I know the first person. So, Bernie, let's be transparent here. Dan is a good friend of mine. Went to college with him. He's a huge Chargers fan. And as soon as I heard that the Bolts were bolting to L.A., I sent him a text message, and he started sending me pictures of fire where he's throwing jerseys and paraphernalia in. So, Dan, talk to me a little bit. I mean, what's your gut feel now, man? I mean, your Chargers are moving to L.A. What's the fans' mindset right now?
Well, kind of honest with you, JP, I'm pissed about it completely, but I've been thinking about it ever since. Of course, couldn't be able to think about anything else, but I've come to the realization that as much as I hate Dean Spanos and the ownership group there, I still am super connected to the players, so... As much as I want to trash everything, I feel as loyal as I am, I got to stick with the boys and screw with the ownership. So I'm still going to be a Chargers fan, but it's going to be a tough road, I think. It always has been. Hey, 35 years of this, but I'm still an idiot, right?
Well, let me just say this. I mean, the reasoning behind it is they just couldn't get a new stadium. I mean, I understand the frustration to go that, you know, they're leaving the city. They've been there for a long time. But the city, they keep voting down these new facilities. I mean, can you kind of understand where Spanos is deciding, I got to go somewhere else?
Only a little bit, and here's why. They've been doing this for, God, pushing two decades. I know it's been at least 15 years that they've been doing this, and it's just kind of been a pissing match between the two parties, so... There's a lot of blame to go around between the city and the ownership. But then again, at the end of the day, the ownership is going to do what the ownership wants to do, and that's to make more money. And I don't think they're going to do that in L.A. L.A. doesn't want the Chargers at all. They don't want them there whatsoever.
Well, aren't they going to play in a soccer stadium for a couple of years that sits 30,000? So how are they going to make money that way?
Well, you might remember, they're going to do that for 2 years in the L.A. Galaxy Stadium, right? 30,000 seats. See if they even sell that out. How bad is that going to look?
Wow.
If you can't even sell out 30,000 seats. Think of it like that. So you got the L.A. Coliseum, which is what? Seats a million stinking people.
Yeah.
Right? It's gigantic. So I think their thinking was, let's play in something smaller so it looks like we're filling up a stadium, but you're playing in a living room. So, you know, they're not – the Stan Kroenke, you got him over a barrel. You know, Dean Spanos doesn't want to go with Stan Kroenke. They can't stand one another. I don't know who could stand Kroenke anyway. The guy just jumped ship left and right. So I think it's going to be a bad forced marriage.
And now they want to build a stadium, and they're worried about the cranes and the LA airport.
And from what I heard this morning, and again, I may be way off, but the list coming over, it sounds to me the Rams and the Chargers are going to share a stadium now over by LAX. That's what the plan is. It's to share a stadium.
Right. And the Chargers are simply going to be a tenant.
No, that's what the Jets did.
It's not going to be co-ownership at all.
Interesting stuff. Dan, I appreciate the call, buddy. I do appreciate the call. I thanks for calling in and give us a little bit more information on it. So thanks for calling. But I will say it's an interesting dynamic. But I have to say this. If the Cleveland Browns could move from Cleveland and go to Baltimore, which they did, and if the Baltimore Colts can move the thing to Indianapolis, I mean, I guess in this society we live in now, I mean, I guess I can see it happening.
And how brilliant does Archie Manning look?
Oh, yeah, right.
Because he didn't want Eli to go play in San Diego.
Yeah.
And now, you know, Philip.
And I understand what he's saying, and I get that, too. But at the same time, you know, they've been trying to get a new stadium there for 15 years. And when you look at San Diego's, and I haven't been out there to see their stadium, but it's definitely not where I think they need it to be, you know, to do what they need to do. And if the city keeps knocking it down, I mean, you've got to make business decisions based around, you know, the things that better your company, right? So as frustrating as it is for a fan, I mean, I can't imagine if, say, that, you know, we're Giants fans, they packed up ship and went to, you know, St. Louis or something right now, you know. But I can see both sides of the aisle here. But I guess I also see where Dan's coming from is L.A. doesn't seem to want them.
No.
I mean, L.A., I mean, there are people out on Twitter saying, we don't want the Chargers, you know, don't come here. I mean, it's so... You know, it's not like you're going to a city that's hungry for football.
Welcoming, yes.
I mean, the Rams were welcome there.
Right.
You know, but now with Oakland leaving, I think that's pretty interesting. The Oakland Raiders.
So, Dave, if the Giants moved to, you know, St. Louis, would you become a Giant fan?
No, I'd want the Rams to move to New York. Yeah, that'd be good. Then I could be a Yankee fan, and, you know,
it'd be perfect for
you. Why are you a Rams fan? You're a Yankee fan. I said, well, I'm an Aries, and... good-looking helmets and stuff like that.
They don't have good-looking helmets, though. I don't
Rams?
Know where you get it.
No, yeah,
Rams, no,
great.
They don't. They have bad uniforms, man. Terrible.
Beautiful.
Horrible. They've always been bad. Bad uniforms all the way around with the Rams.
Butt heads and...
Yeah, you like that.
You remember the fearsome foursome?
Well, I was
Deacon
way too
Jones,
young.
Deacon Jones, Jack Youngblood.
Way too young
Fred
for that.
Dry-
yeah,
that,
back in those days. Yeah, okay.
Well,
yeah.
Which Youngblood played Jones. With the broken leg?
Jack.
Broken, yeah, he's
leg
tough.
In
yeah,
the Super
that
Bowl.
Guy was tough.
Unbelievable.
That guy was tough. That guy was
that
tough.
That was nuts.
And Deacon Jones, one of the greatest of all time.
Yes.
But that was way back.
Hacksaw Reynolds.
Yeah.
Right, and I thought it was Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Roman Gabriel.
Keep it coming, buddy. Keep it coming.
I can do it.
You can go with Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk.
Well,
yeah,
those,
but there's like 20 years.
You know, Isaac Bruce. Right?
Yeah, but those,
Isaac
come
Bruce,
on. They were great.
Kevin Green.
A great thing, I understand. But
I'm just trying to.
St. Louis.
Okay, but
they had horns that were yellow. And I didn't care.
Not gold.
Yeah, well, we're talking about our era and your era. I mean, you're talking about back in the 40s, you know, David and Bernie and I are talking about in the 80s and 90s. So that's how we do it.
Back in my day,
Jim Everett.
I used to play that hard hitting music.
Yeah.
Going downfield, moving the chains. The real circus. Right, we'll save that for later.
But going back, and let's get serious here about the Oakland Raiders. If Oakland goes to, I mean, you talk about an organization like the Raiders that you think of as one of the pristine organizations in football, right? When you think of the NFL, I think the Raiders are one of the teams you think of, and they've moved a bunch of times. They've been the Oakland Raiders, the LA Raiders, back to the Oakland Raiders. Now they potentially could be the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, how does that fan base take that?
Yeah, that would be tough because there's nothing more interesting to see on TV than the crazy fans of an Oakland.
You don't think that there'd be some crazy fans in Las Vegas?
Yeah, but it's just a little different in Oaktown.
No, I agree on it. But again, it all comes down to being able to, you know, you need a facility, I guess. I mean, and again, I don't know the business side of it, but it is still shocking that the Chargers are going to be in L.A., but I don't know if it'd be more – it's more shocking to me to see Oakland in Las Vegas. I think any kind of – especially the Raiders. I mean, I would always see if they ever decide to do new teams like they did when Carolina came in and Jacksonville came in. You want a little expansion.
Yep.
I can see a team going there that's brand new. But you're moving the Oakland Raiders, especially where the Oakland Raiders are now. This is an up-and-coming franchise. With the quarterback – I mean, listen, we might be talking a whole new dynamic today if Oakland still had their quarterback and getting ready to play the Patriots this week. So you're talking about one of the better teams in the league getting ready to move to a brand-new city. They'll fill that over there. But I see where Dan's coming from. I mean, the Chargers going into a city where they're unwanted. And you know how people are nowadays. They want to protest everything. So they're going to say, we don't want you here. We're not going. You know, that's going to be very interesting playing in a soccer facility that holds 30,000 people You know, it's turning into like nobody's there.
I gotta believe it's going to be hard for them not to sell out because 30,000 is just not.
No,
a
no.
Big,
I mean,
it's not
I would,
a big number.
I would definitely. I mean, you could put 30,000 of the other team's fans in there.
Right.
I mean, if the Giants.
When Oakland went to San Diego towards the end of the season, that was like a home game for the Raiders.
Exactly. That's very true. That's
you know,
very true.
So.
Well, interesting talk. 655-6672, 802-655-6672. Give us a call and to give us your opinion. What do you think about these teams going all over different cities, different parts of the country? Interesting conversation.
It's crazier than like colleges, you know, when they were jumping conferences all the time.
Yeah, and again, you know, that's interesting. What happened to the Big East? What happened to the ACC? I mean, you look at the ACC today. Syracuse, Louisville, you know. I mean, just to mention a couple of the teams that I mean.
Pittsburgh.
I mean, it's odd. I mean, but back in the day, I mean, in the Big East, I mean, I can't believe that happened. The Big East breaking up is what I think is one of the toughest things to see. Creighton is in the Big East. Butler is in the Big East. I mean, come on. I mean, what happened to the Georgetowns, the Syracuses, the St. John's, the Villanova? I mean, just historic programs that are no longer able to play each other on a routine basis. It's sad. It really is. To me, it's sad. I mean, it was kind of neat a few weeks ago. St. John's traveled to Syracuse to play Syracuse. Well, you know, that was interesting.
Yeah, but, you know, it's also, you know, you talk about it's sad for us because those were great traditions. But those schools, like the NFL teams, are businesses.
Oh, I get it.
And they're making that move to improve their business.
I get that. But I don't know how the business was bad. I mean, business was booming.
Because football drives the money, not basketball.
Okay, I get that, too. But again, why listen, there's plenty of teams that play in a conference for basketball and a different one for football. Look at the ACC with Notre Dame. They're an independent in football, and they're playing ACC basketball for NCAA. So, I mean, that to me is crazy, because to me, business is booming when you're looking at the Big East. Even the ACC, growing up, I was a Virginia fan, and the ACC conference was always... You know, about Tobacco Road and the Wake Forest and all these teams. You know, now you've got
Maryland's gone.
Maryland's gone. Maryland's in the Big Ten. Great point. It's crazy stuff. Speaking of college basketball, I do want to. Do we have a call or no?
No.
We do not have a call.
Okay. See, I never know because, again, our communication is so poor. You know, you don't give me any sign.
I'll yell louder.
Thank you very much. We only have a few minutes left in this thing, but I do want to talk to you because this Grayson Allen thing is just ripping me up, man. It really is. And I'm trying to be serious with it because I know you and I joke a lot about this stuff, but how is that kid on the floor? And how does Coach Krzyzewski allow that kid to play? How do you suspend a guy indefinitely, lose a game by 20 at Virginia Tech, and then turn around the next day and the next week and say you're going to play? You know, I know he's off doing his back surgery, and I hope he's, you know, everything goes well for Coach K. But what is going on there? Then he goes and plays Boston College, and it's argumentative. You could say that he tried to kick the kid in between the legs. It looked like that, and then he goes to Florida State, gets pushed out of bounds, and like it looks like he's getting in a small tussle with the coach. I don't get what Duke is doing. They have been I get there's a lot of Duke haters out there, and I understand why. Nobody seems to like a winner for whatever reason, and I get that. But what they're doing now with Grayson Allen to me is wrong. And not just Duke. Like, what is the ACC doing? Honestly. I mean, tell me. You're a Duke fan.
Right.
But, I mean, even you have to look at this, and you're a basketball purist. You have to be able to look at this and say, what is going on here?
We got to call her.
Okay. Joe from Essex.
All right. Joe from Essex on the line. Joe, good morning. What's happening, pal?
Well, other than the fact that it's Jim from Essex. Hello.
Oh, there you go, Jim. Way to go, Dave. Sorry, Jim. If you knew Dave, Jim, you'd understand.
Yeah.
No, I'm just happy San Diego or a city finally stood up to these teams. It happens too often. They're almost held hostage to pay for it. If I want to start, it's like, I have a $1 billion business I want to start, and I want you to pay for it so I can make money. Thanks.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's a great point.
Yeah,
and again, I agree with that. Like, you know, you're upset. I can see both ends of the spectrum. And thanks for the call with that. That he's absolutely right. I mean, with the way with people's property taxes now and what it costs to live, especially in a state like California. I mean, we know what it's like to live here in Vermont. In a state like California, I mean, it's intense. So you're asking somebody to pay more money to build a stadium. So I can see why San Diego would leave. I mean, I don't see why Spanos doesn't build his own stadium. He's got enough money to do that. Build your own stadium, stay in the city, and you'll be fine. So now, I'm mad at the Chargers. I think Spanos should have built his own stadium. I mean, that's what Steinbrenner did in New York, essentially. Right?
That's right.
I mean, you know, you're asking people to pony up more money for the entertainment industry, and I get it, but people can't afford it.
Speaking of New York.
What about him?
Good promo coming up
next
here.
Thanks, it's called the segue.
Yeah, but I'm not ready to leave the segment yet.
You're not?
I'm fired up.
I'm just happy about that last call.
I know, we
got
the Grayson Allen thing. I'm not
so
done with that.
No, we're done
I'm not done with that, but
we are. Too much stuff to talk about.
But we are going to talk some Yankee hot stove baseball with our good friend Sweeney Murdy from the Yankees Radio Network in WFAN New York. Hang in there, folks.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
You found Burlington and Plattsburgh's sports leader.
What is the name of this network again?
101.3 ESPN.
Your morning routine has been so routine. Wake up and go to work.
Afternoon, high temperatures a few degrees warmer into the middle and upper 20s. With your forecast on 101.3 ESPN, I'm Chief Meteorologist Sean Parker with Local 22 and Local 44 News.
It's 15 at 101.3 ESPN.
Another day of local sports talk.
I went to buy beer and I got carded.
What?
I got carded.
Had to be a new employee.
No. Okay, knock it off. Let's not go through.
Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Here come the Yankees. Let's get behind the cheer. The Yankees.
Good morning. It's 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. You're listening to Sports Saturday with Jeff, Bernie, and Dave. I am Jeff Paul, your host. And hey, man, we're already in mid-January. Another month we're going to be talking.
Come on.
Baseball is coming. Spring training is right around the corner.
I thought I had a little time from you and Dave. With this stuff, man.
No. We're getting right into this now. And on the TikTok Dealer's Guest Hotline is WFAN New York's and the Yankee Radio Network's Sweeney Murdy. He joins us right now to talk a little hot stove Yankee baseball, Bernie. Sweeney, good morning. Thanks so much for taking the time today, pal.
Doing, guys?
I'm good. And let me just be the first to say I apologize for you having to spend a couple minutes on the phone with our engineer Dave, who always has some interesting things that he's such a Yankee fan. He just, whenever I tell him we have somebody with the Yankees coming out, he just gets so excited. So
that's great.
I apologize,
sweetie.
That's
exciting, right?
Yeah. Try to sit with us for 2 hours every week, and it's not that exciting. Trust me, Sweeney.
My 30 seconds with him is nothing compared to what you go through.
Well, just imagine, 2.5 hours just like that all the time. So that gives you a little idea. Sweeney, let's get right into this with this Yankee team. The offseason comes. They are loaded in the farm system. People are really excited about that. But the team they've put together going into the season, they bring Chapman back. Matt Holliday signs to be the DH. McCann is gone. There's a lot of youth. What can Yankee fans expect to see out of this team this year?
It's a great question. See, here's the thing. I don't look at it as what you can expect to see, because that's kind of what the Yankees have been about for years and years. All the veteran players, all the star players, you expected certain things. You expected Alex Rodriguez to hit 40 home runs. You expected Derek Jeter to do this. You expected CC Sabathia, Andy Pettitte to give you certain numbers. I don't think this season is about what you're expecting. I think it's about what you can dream off of. I think what you saw, listen, I don't think you should dream that Gary Sanchez is going to hit 80 home runs this year. But I think you should dream on the type of player he can be. I think you should dream on the type of player that Greg Bird can be and be excited that he's coming back. We kind of forget about him after the year he missed because of shoulder surgery last year. I think you can dream on some of the young pitchers and hope that there's growth there, and Severino can come back and show you some of the promise that he showed two seasons ago. I think this season should be looked at more on what you can dream on more than what you should expect, because that's what the Yankees had always been for the last couple of decades. You expected 90-plus wins, and if you didn't get them, you were disappointed.
Do you expect the fan base to be patient with this, with what they're doing? I mean, as we are...
What's your definition of patient?
Well, I mean, you're in the city.
You're a fan. You tell me.
I'm going to say that. Like, as a fan, I'm very excited about the season, because I'm excited to watch these young kids come up and play and have there be little expectation and, have them come up. Like you said, you can dream a little bit and see what these kids can turn into. But in New York, Sweeney, you've been around the Yankees for a long time. There's expectation to win there. And, you feel like they may have a pass for a year. But do you expect them? I mean, what do you expect? Do you expect the fan base to be patient to let these kids kind of develop? Because it wasn't that long ago, Sweeney, back in the early 80s the late 80s and into the early 90s, the Yankees were, one of the worst teams in baseball. And they allowed Jeter and Bernie and Posada and Rivera to kind of develop and come up through the system. Do you expect the Yankee fan base, especially in the city, to be as patient as they were back in those days?
I don't think, it depends. If you get the same result that you did, then you didn't have to be patient at all. Remember, Bernie had been up for a couple of years, but Derek Jeter, Jorge Posada, Mariano Rivera, Andy Pettit all debuted in 95, and by 96 they were all key contributors on a World Series championship team. I mean, that's not patient. I mean, that's, you know, remember, that team was built to win with all the veteran players that they had. This team is different. So to sit here and say we're bringing up all these young guys and by 2018 they're going to be world champions, well, I think that's rushing it a little bit. I think you need to have a little bit more patience with it. Because, frankly, there are a lot of other factors here. Other teams are better. Other teams have money to keep their star players. And, you know, the Yankees can't poach them the way they did back then. I think it's a much different system. I think the patience is going to be tested more than it was 20 years ago because, frankly, there was an immediate payoff for those guys.
Sweeney, what about the Yankees pick up Chapman? What do you think of the signing, the pickup, and the length of the contract?
Contract is a little long. They did what they had to do to get a guy that they wanted back. It was a move that you had to make if you weren't going to be able to shore up starting pitching. And based on what's available and the costs associated with it, the Yankees weren't going to be able to do that. So it is a little much, you think, but that's the market bears. So he was a good fit for this team. I'm a little cautiously optimistic based on the fact that he now has the security of this deal and really was only a Yankee for 2.5 months, you know. Everybody talks about how he performed here and he shined under the spotlight of New York. Well, he was a Yankee in May, June, and July, and that was really it. I mean, Yankees aren't made in May, June, and July. They're made in October, you know, and we haven't seen that yet. So there's a long way to go for Aroldis Chapman and many of these other players, but I think it was a needed step in building the team. There are a lot of people who say, well, what do you need to spend that kind of money for in a closer, in a team that you don't expect to win? Well, I think you still need to be able to close out the games you can win and show young teams how to win games. I mean, there's nothing more demoralizing for especially a young team to have, 6-5 leads or 5-4 leads and have them lost in the eighth and ninth innings. So when the Yankees are able to roll out the relievers they can and hold on to leads, it'll give the younger players a little bit more confidence because they'll add up to wins.
Sweeney, I just got a question on Facebook. Mike from Middlebury wants to know, would the Yankees ever consider bringing in Doug Fister as a possible pitcher? He said, for a year or two, he could probably get him on pennies on the dollar. Would the Yankees be looking for somebody like that?
If the price is right, I would consider that a possibility. But he's going to have, he would have to want to do it too. I think a lot of times, when people say, do the Yankees consider this guy? Well, they've talked about everybody, but there's a price associated with it. And then the player has to be willing to accept it as well. Maybe it's a little more of a chance for him to win a spot like that now than maybe in other years. So that might be something he consider. But, yeah, I think a lot of these guys are going to start trying to figure out what's best for them in the coming weeks. And I would always consider it a possibility. I wouldn't ever say no.
Brian Cashman came out earlier this week and kind of said that he thinks that the rotation he has is the one he's going to go to battle with through the season. Now, we know that he's a GM, and we know that he says things and does other things sometimes, but do you think this rotation the Yankees have with those three young kids and then the Pinedas and the Tanakas, is this what they're going to go to battle with this year?
I think it's I think that's what they have, but again, it depends on, and I don't know that this is part of the negotiation, but is Doug Fister willing to go to AAA if he doesn't make the team or any other veteran pitcher out there right now? That's probably part of the process, too, if the Yankees are going to add some of these guys as opposed to giving them guaranteed money, because the Yankees do want to be able to, especially in a year like this, be able to see what they have from guys like Luis Sessa and Chad Green and see if they can win rotation spots as opposed to a veteran like Doug Fister for guaranteed money. So, I think they have the ability to put five starting pitchers out there, but it's going to be a learning process, and this is a lot different, I think, than what Yankee fans are used to seeing.
Gary Sanchez, we always talk about now. I mean, what an amazing player he was towards the end of the season last year. A lot of home runs, big hits, amazing arm behind the plate, great defense. Sweeney, you're around baseball a lot, and you've seen a lot of great players come up. I mean, is this guy a lock to be a great player? Do we think that he could be? I always go back to my early days thinking about Kevin Moss. I remember when Kevin Moss came up, and everybody got really excited about him. He hit a lot of home runs and thought that he was going to be the next star, and it kind of faded away. What do you see in Gary Sanchez that tells you, you don't know, anything can happen, but he could be a player that could sustain himself for a long time?
Well, first of all, Gary Sanchez was given $3 million as a 16-year-old to sign out of the Dominican, and his, it was his skill level and his potential at the time that led the Yankees to do that and outbid other teams for his services. And so you've been hearing his name for a long time as a prospect, and that's starting to pay off right now, and his time has finally arrived. There's a lot of physical and emotional maturity that has to come in a kid going from 16 in a foreign country to coming to the U.S., playing baseball, and being able to play at the major league level. So that's what they've been dealing with for the last 7 years here, and his time has finally arrived. So he is here on a much different plane than a guy like Kevin Moss or Shane Spencer arrived on. I mean, playing on a level, not an airplane, I feel like the expectation is there because the talent warrants it. And he has everybody you talk to around the game believes he has the ability to be a great player. Now, we've all seen plenty of people who've had the ability to be great players who became good players, decent players, or not even good players at all. So it's a matter of where he takes it. He has the ability to be a very, very good player. I get the question a lot with Sanchez and with other players, like when they say, do you think he's the real deal? I want to know what your definition is of the real deal. Is he going to be Yogi Berra, Roy Campanella? I'm going to venture to say no, because the odds are pretty high there. But if you're going to tell me, can he be Jorge Posada type with defense like that or offensive ability or better, if he has Jorge Posada's career, I'd say he did really well. I think we're dreaming a little higher than that because of his defensive ability and just the way you see how special his bat is. But it's a really long answer to your question, and I just feel like he has the ability to be a great player, but I don't think there's any way to fast forward there. You just kind of have to let it happen and see how he develops.
We are talking to Sweeney Murdy, Yankee Radio Network Sweeney Murdy, WFAN New York Sweeney Murdy. The Yankee infield is fairly young, for exception of Headley. Nobody seems to talk about D.D. Gregorius. But the player they do talk about a lot is Gleyber Torres, the kid that's just shot up, the kid they got for Chapman from the Cubs in their system. Had a huge year at the Arizona Fall League. He seems like a kid that's destined for greatness here. But Didi's a young guy too. I mean, if Torres is ready, say, in a year and a half, do they move him? Does Didi get moved? What do you think would happen there?
If Gleyber Torres is ready sometime during the 2018 season, let's say, at this point, I would think that they would try to keep him at shortstop and try to move Didi to a different spot. A lot of it depends on what happens between now and then. I talked to some people who think Didi might make a better transition to third base than maybe, say, Starlin Castro or Torres or somebody else. That his arm is strong enough, that he is good on the quick reaction plays that a third baseman needs to be. And he's developing some power, which I think in relation to Brett Gardner, who looked like he had figured out a little bit of power, Gardner's power appeared to be more fluky, whereas I think a lot of people believe that Didi Gregorius can really start to hone that left-handed swing just like he did last year and start to develop 15 to 20 home run power, so especially at Yankee Stadium. So I would think if Torres is ready, he's the type of guy that you want to put at shortstop. A lot of it will depend on his development between now and then, because remember, he hasn't played above A-ball. So I think what you see from him defensively at that position, double A on up here, will help determine that as well.
So, I mean, before we let you go, the other night I was up late and I was swinging through the channels. I came across the Yes Network and they were doing a thing on 2001, that World Series with Arizona. And you were actually on this video talking about after one of the big home runs, I think it was Tino's home run that sent the game to extra innings, or if it was Brocious's home run. But you had said that it was the most intense atmosphere you'd ever been in. I always ask guys like you that are around the game like this, what is the most interesting or most memorable moment you've been a part at in your profession, especially with the Yankees?
I would say that the two moments that are tied together for me that I've covered the Yankees going on 17 years now, the 2003-2004 ALCS Game 7 against the Red Sox, both years at Yankee Stadium, one with a dramatic result in favor of the Yankees, the Aaron Boone's home run, and the next year with a historic result when the Red Sox come from 3-0 down, finish off the Yankees, move on to end up winning the World Series for the first time since 1918. Those two events I kind of put together because of what Yankees-Red Sox was at that point in time. In 2003 and 2004, it was heightened intensity every time they took the field. And they took the field 52 times against each other in 2 years. You know, we talk about great rivalries in sports. You know, Michigan and Ohio State play once a year. Duke and North Carolina play twice a year, maybe three if you get lucky in a postseason tournament. These two teams played 52 games against each other, and I think we're dead even, 26 apiece. A couple of game sevens to see who goes to the World Series, winner take all. It was those two moments together I will put because it ended so dramatically different each time. I think that's what makes it stand out for me very special, and I'm sure for you Yankee fans that, you know, one of them is really good and one of them is really bad. But I appreciated those two moments and appreciate them more and more for what they stood out as things that were kind of like the peak of what I have witnessed while I've done this job.
Sweeney, thanks so much for your time, buddy. Have a great rest of your winter and enjoy the spring training.
All right, fellas, thanks a lot. Hope you guys thaw out up there a little bit like the rest of us are, and we'll be thinking warm thoughts real soon.
Thanks, Sweeney. Appreciate it. Interesting conversation, right? I mean, it really is. Yes, it is interesting.
No,
Dave's not talking. We already hung up the phone. Yeah,
he's gone.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dave.
Interesting to get that perspective. And again, you know, you look at it from a fan's perspective. You watch, you think home runs are a big deal. But Sweeney's seen the good and the bad, and he's absolutely right. I mean, play over 50 times, and they both are 26 and 26 each other in 2 years. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
And I'll tell you right, man, those are some mean times. Yankee Red Sox, that was some rough, rough, rough times. Crazy.
But it was fun.
That was a lot of fun. I hope it gets back to that again. And listen, it might.
Maybe you guys can catch us.
You know, here I am trying to be real, but there he goes again. But I got to feel bad for him because, you know, he's got a concussion.
Oh, no.
All right, hey, listen.
What'd you say?
Exactly. Okay. We're going to take a quick break, come back. We're going to preview all of these NFL football games. There's four big ones, and they don't include our team.
This is the sound of Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, providing the best total engine protection you can get. Period. Think all premium fuels are the same? Think again. Choose Shell V-Power Nitro Plus today.
See how easy obtaining the right mortgage for you can be. Call Vermont Mortgage Company today at 802-863-2020. That's 863-2020. Or visit them online at vermontmortgagecompany.com. Vermont Mortgage Company. Mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters.
Jeff Paul.
Now you got me all discombobulated.
Bernie Soplicki.
Oh, you're disheveled again?
Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Good morning. It is sport. You know what I forgot to tell you? By the way, it's Sports Saturday.
Okay.
You know what I'm doing today?
Radio show.
Well, after this, I'm this afternoon.
Gonna polish the dome.
Be quiet.
I know, dude. I appreciate the fact that you're standing up.
Yeah.
I can't stand it, though, because now the glare is coming right into my eyes. When you were sitting down before, at least it'd go below me.
You're both jerks.
Justifiably really? So.
Just saying. You're jerks. Anyway.
We tease because we love.
Whatever.
Okay.
I'm going to the Polish festival today.
What?
Which I was told it's a yes. It's and I thought of you because, you know, you're a Polish.
I am.
So I was thinking, I'm surprised Bernie's not going, but I guess it's in Winooski today, and my wife and I were invited.
Nice.
And so we're heading there this afternoon.
Little Chris Chicky, a little kielbasa.
Whatever's in there. Oh. I heard a pierogi, probably a few pierogi.
Beautiful pierogi.
Well, I'm going to be there.
That's nice.
And I'm going to be thinking of you.
I hope so.
Okay. Just wanted to share that with you. I figured you'd like that.
That's sad, man.
I was going to kind of get into this a little bit, you know, talk about maybe like your heritage and how impressed I'm going to be to get to see some
hair
of that. And then this happens. Right. Picking on my hair, my head. Typical. That's typical. But anyway, I digress. Bernie, Dave, now you got me all discombobulated. That's my word.
Oh, you're disheveled?
I am. All right, let's get into this. Let's preview these football games.
Why?
Tonight.
The Giants aren't playing.
I know.
Okay.
Well, now we won't be biased. You know what I mean? When we pick Giant games, we always pick the Giants because we like the Giants.
I don't want to talk about the Giants. I never picked the Giants.
Yeah, but inside you picked the Giants.
Of course.
All right, let's get into these games. We have four huge ones. Listen, we are a week away from the AFC and NFC championship games. Can you believe how time flies? I mean, it's crazy.
It is.
It really is. All right, let's get with it. First game tonight, 8:15, the Houston Texans. Big win over the Oakland Raiders last week in the divisional round. Heading over to play. Actually, last week was wild card round. Right. They beat the Raiders in the wild card round. Divisional round is this week. Houston travels to Foxborough to take on the number one seeded New England Patriots. Who do you got, Bernie?
I like the Patriots. I just hope it's a game.
The spread is only 13.5.
Well, I mean, that's what it said in the paper, but, you know, you've seen like 14, 15. It's ridiculous.
It's a trap.
A trap? Why?
It's a trap, Luke.
No, it's not.
I don't know. Listen, well, go ahead. Tell me what you think.
Yeah, Patriots roll. Like, yeah. Patriots win 34-10.
Wow, 34-10 blowout. Yeah, you know, I think you like the Patriots in this game. I think that it's a game where you feel like the Patriots are going to just roll in this. Houston has great defense, and I've always said if you can pressure Brady, you can get yourself in a position. I don't know how good this Patriot team is yet. I mean, I'm not sold on them. I mean, I love Brady. He's great. They got the coach who is a savant. I get that. But, man, it's going to be interesting. I got to tell you, I mean, Patriots win, but I think it's going to be closer than you think.
Well, I mean, I hope so just for entertainment purposes, but I would also wouldn't mind if it was like 28-0 at halftime and you can go to bed.
Well, okay, well. I hope that's not going to happen. Well, it can't happen. We're not going to let that happen. It's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be closer than anything. All right, listen.
I'll give you the 14 points and you can take Houston?
No.
Well, what do you mean? You just said it's going to be closer than
I'm just predicting. But if I'm going to bet, I'm going to take the Pats and I'm going to pick the Pats.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
If we're betting. I'm just yelling what I think.
Gotcha. That's fair.
All right, the first game of the day is not that, if you can believe it, but we know New England's close to everybody's hearts. But Seattle travels to Atlanta at 4:35 today, take on the Red Hot Falcons.
Yeah, a rematch. You know, Atlanta probably should have won in Seattle with that non-call against Julio Jones. And Atlanta's healthy and on that turf. I just think they got a little too much offense. Seattle's a little banged up, even though that front four is tremendous. I just think Atlanta takes care of business.
Easy day. I think Atlanta's going to take care of business easy, and I think it's going to happen early. I think in that dome,
really?
Atlanta is dynamite in that dome.
Atlanta's
and they're playing.
Defense is so bad.
Yeah, you're going to have to score a lot of points to beat them. And I'm in that dome. If this was in Seattle, completely different story. But I just feel like there's something about dome teams. You know, Atlanta has very little history, so it's not like you can rest on it like you can with the Patriots. But I feel like in this matchup with Seattle's injuries, that defense is not the same right now. It just isn't. Offensively, Seattle can struggle. They're not an elite offensive team. You know Atlanta's going to score points. I think Atlanta wins by a lot. That's just my opinion. All right, next day, Sunday at 4:40, we got Green Bay. The Pack are back, baby. They're heading to Dallas to take on the Cowboys. What do you think?
What do I think about the Pack and the Cowboys? I think I don't like either team, but for purposes of conversation,
yes.
I just think Dallas is a little better, a little more balanced, even though Aaron Rodgers is playing tremendous football.
Yeah.
I just think Dallas is a pound-for-pound, a better football team across the board, and I think they win in a close one.
By the way, 655-6672. Give us a call. Give us your opinion. What do you think is going to happen? Are we wrong? Are we right on? 802-655-6672. All right, listen, Green Bay right now looks like they're playing the best football out of anybody to me watching. I mean, they Aaron Rodgers is playing at a different level. You know, if you play good D, you can shut down this Dallas offense. If you stop the run, and Green Bay has the ability to do that, Green Bay has the ability to score points. You know, Dak Prescott does not want to get in a shootout with you, even though I think he's capable of doing it. He's got the weapons to do it. I think Green Bay goes into this and gets this thing done. I think Green Bay goes in, wins the game late on a Mason Crosby field goal. Green Bay, Atlanta playing for the NFC Championship down in ATL. What do you think about that?
I would love to see that because I think Atlanta can beat Green Bay, so that way Green Bay or Dallas doesn't have to go to the Super Bowl. But after we pick the last game, I just want to ask you, you know, what team do you want to see the Super Bowl? you know, most now that the Giants are out, ranking them all the way 1-8 to who you don't want to see.
Yeah, that's a tough one. We'll get into that next. Well, but
no,
these teams,
we
all right, let's do this.
It.
All right, we'll do this question, then we'll do that. All right, Pittsburgh travels to Kansas City, dodging the ice storm that's going on in St. Louis, going on in Kansas City tomorrow. It's going to be crazy there. It's going to be
unbelievable. That's going to be interesting.
Pittsburgh on paper to me is like juggernaut city. But then they play, and you can see, you know, I mean, even Miami was in the game with them last week for a little while. Kansas City is a very solid football team. I know you're not a big fan of Andy Reid. Who do you think wins tomorrow?
You know, I really like the defense of Kansas City. You know, like you said, the explosiveness of Pittsburgh. But I just think the home field, especially now at night in Kansas City, that place is going to be nuts, and I think they win close.
No way, man. Pittsburgh's going to win this football game. Offensively, they are a juggernaut. If you stop the wide receivers, you stop the passing attack, they beat you with Bell. And if you have not watched this kid, Le'Veon Bell, run, he is an amazing runner. We had our beat writer on last week, Bernie, because you were out, you know, you were on your sabbatical dance competition.
Dance. It was great.
Again, my biggest question about that was I wanted to see you out there dancing.
No, sorry.
Like a little lead off, but that didn't happen. But I love Bell. I mean, he's the only guy I've ever seen that actually stops in the backfield, looks around a little bit, finds where he wants to go, and then just goes. I think Ben Roethlisberger is a proven winner in the playoffs. I think Kansas City's a good football team. I think this will be one of those heart-wrenching losses for the Chiefs. I think Pittsburgh goes on the road and gets it done.
No, I really do. As long as Pittsburgh or Kansas City beats New England.
So in my book, I've got the Green Bay Packers playing Atlanta, and I've got Pittsburgh taking on the Pats. You, my friend, have what? I forgot.
Atlanta and Dallas.
Yep.
And then New England playing Kansas City.
Okay, perfect.
All the home teams.
Those are our picks for the week. Book them. You asked me a question a second ago, a little bit about, you know, what I thought. You know, we'll go ahead.
The ranking. Yeah. Okay, there's eight teams left.
So
the number one team is who you could handle winning the Super Bowl.
Okay, winning.
Number eight being no.
Okay, so my number one, the team that I would like to see win it, because I really like this team, is Pittsburgh. I think I'm going to root for the Pittsburgh Steelers the rest of the way. That's my team. Pittsburgh, number one. Number two, Kansas City. I like Kansas City, too. I think both those teams. I really like the way they play.
I promise you one of those two teams will advance to the Final Four.
Good call. Boy, you're like Nostradamus over here. Okay, so here's on mine. So one being Pittsburgh. So one being I'm good.
Yeah, you're good.
Eight being I'm not good.
Yeah.
Okay, so one Pittsburgh, two Kansas City, three New England.
Ugh.
I don't dislike the New England Patriots.
You're just trying to get more fans.
Four
out
Houston.
There.
No, I'm being honest. Four Houston. Five Atlanta. No, I'm sorry. Wait, where am I? One Pittsburgh, two Kansas City, three Green Bay, four New England, five Houston.
Oh man.
Six Atlanta, seven Seattle, eight
Dallas.
America's team, the Dallas Cowboys.
All right.
There it is.
We're very different.
And yours?
One would be Houston.
Okay.
Two would be Kansas City.
Okay.
Three, Atlanta.
Yep.
Four, let's go with Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Five, Seattle. Who am I missing?
Have you mentioned Atlanta?
Yeah,
Kansas City.
All I know is 6, 7, 8. Very easy. Green Bay, Dallas, New England.
Okay.
If any of those three teams,
those
guys just
out.
Get them out.
All
just
right,
get them out.
Good. That sounds good.
Joe from Essex.
Hey, got a quick call, Joe. We got a couple minutes here, buddy. What's happening?
Yeah, well, I just jumped in the car and go to Essex Rice basketball, so I'm doing some errands first. And I just happened to hear your list.
Yeah.
Dallas, come on.
But,
holy cow.
I don't want Dallas to win. Listen, I have a lot of friends that are Dallas fans, and they are the most abusive on Facebook. And to me personally. So I don't want to be listening to that. And I'm a Giants fan. I can't be rooting for Dallas. Come on now.
Would you cheer for
last Sunday I was on the couch rooting for the Giants. Because we'd rather play them than the Packers.
Why? Because it would have been hard to beat you a third time?
No.
Now if this is a Joe I think it is. My question is, I thought you were a Texans fan.
No.
So have we officially jumped ship off the Texans bandwagon and now you're a Dallas fan again? I mean, this sounds a little sketchy to me.
Hey, Ice Bowl is my first game I watched.
Now, wait a minute. For the record, I know that you have been a diehard Houston Texans fan for a long time. You were off the Dallas Cowboy bandwagon. Now the Cowboys have a year, and now you're a Cowboy fan again. Interesting. I hope, and I think, you know, and you're kind of speaking for the whole Cowboy Nation, I think. You know, typical Cowboy fan, Bernie.
Wow.
Typical Cowboy fan. Off the wagon, on the wagon. Thanks for the call, Joey. Oh. Enjoy the basketball game, and good luck to your Cowboys and your Texans and whoever else you're rooting for the rest of the year.
And, Joe, speaking off the wagon, can always stop by ESOX 194 Main Street.
Let me tell you something. If you don't want this Joe there, you'll be out of business in a half an hour.
Oh, wow. Hey. You just made a lot of friends that are New England fans, but any Cowboy fan out there, woo-wee,
nothing but love. We got to take a quick break. We're going to come back and put a bow on this.
How come you don't ask me what I think?
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
You found Burlington and Plattsburgh's sports leader.
What is the name of this network again?
Funky.
Well, that's positive for me.
Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together.
Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Hey, everybody. You know you're going to be watching the Patriots and Texans as Tom Brady and company start their run to the Super Bowl. Well, we want you to come and watch it with us. The brand new McGillicuddy's at Essex Five Corners is where we'll be. We'll have all kinds of great giveaways, including UVM basketball tickets, UVM hockey tickets, and awesome swag from our friends at Love Vermont 802. So come out and enjoy great food, drink specials, and watch the Pats game with us at McGillicuddy's Essex. Kickoff's 8 o'clock. Be there, be square, Burn.
And see Rich suffer if Houston gets up early.
Man, he'll be fine.
No, he's nuts.
Yeah, I know, but he'll get it. He'll be like,
No.
You don't think so?
No, not when it comes to the Patriots.
No, I think they're in good shape this week. Can you imagine being in a playoff game, rooting for a team? Because you and I can relate, because our team's never this good. But rooting for a team that you can just be like,
I'll pick it up at halftime.
Yeah, I mean, this is fine. No big deal. It just never happens. Hey, really quick shout-out. I want to thank Coach John Becker, UVM men's basketball coach, joining us after a huge win last night. Comes on to talk some hoops with us. Big game for them Monday night, turning right around and playing at 1 o'clock against UNH. That's right, Martin Luther King Day. So it's a big day for them. Get yourself, you can listen to all the action right here live on 101.3 ESPN. Sweeney Murdy of the Fan joined us. Talked some Yankee baseball. Always fun to talk hot stove baseball with Sweeney. And then we got a chance to talk to our buddy Tom King, Patriots beat writer. He says the only way that Houston can win the game is if he's a quarterback for the Patriots.
And that makes sense.
It does make good sense. He likes to put crunch berries in his fruit salad, so, you know, you got to like a guy like that. Hey, guys, listen, thanks for listening. I'm Jeff. He's Bernie. He's Dave. We're 101.3 ESPN. We're Sports Saturday. We're living the dream, and we're taking you with us. We'll see you next week.
Hey, you still got 30 seconds. 59-50.
Oh, my bad.
Come on.
See, this is the problem I have with you, David, right here. See, I'm basing it on the music you're playing. I'm trying to be ending it perfectly, and this is what you do. See, this is the worst. You're the worst. You're absolutely the worst. All right, let's start this again.
It was such a good ending.
It was. I housed it. You could have just played something else.
Clock management.
Yeah, you're a horrible
manager. You're like Tom Coughlin a couple of years ago.
My God, you're annoying. Hey, I'm going to.
All right, you're out of time. Bye.
Bye.
WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh.
This is Matt Verderam, NFL insider at fansided.com. Hear me break down the tape with Rich and Arnie every Thursday at 5 p.m. on 101.3 ESPN.